Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we're going to be visiting with our good friend, Beverly Inman Ebel. Beverly is going to talk to us about how to do a better job of communicating with our customers and with the people around us. And I will be in Anniston, Alabama, conducting a keynote speech at the an entrepreneurial center down there. And that morning, I'm going to be visiting with some folks from that incubator, business incubator, the entrepreneurial center down there. And I'm looking forward to going down there and visiting with them. But some of those folks will be with us on that morning to talk about what they do. As you know, I'm very much interested in business incubators and the way that they help small fledgling businesses get their start. And so I speak to quite a few incubator organizations around the country every year. Jonathan Zook is our guest and our good friend. He's finally joined us. We're glad to have him with us. He's the president of the Association for Competitive Technology and our good friend. Jonathan, welcome back.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Jonathan, what's going on out there? Let's talk a little bit politics. Let's talk about what's happening. Have you got a new techie report for us?
We've produced another techie. We put it out quarterly, which
okay.
For anybody that hasn't heard what it is, I'm sorry.
I was thinking it was monthly, but I remember now it is quarterly. Remind the audience what the techie is. It's very interesting.
The techie is just a measure of the regulatory and environment in which businesses have to operate, and particularly tech businesses, but some stuff applies to businesses generally. But you know, what does it? You know, are there high costs to doing business? Are there a lot of regulations that add costs and things like that that make it tough to succeed? And we try to measure that environmental quality, sort of like air quality for small businesses, if you will.
And that's what it's called, isn't it? Technology Quality Index? Is that the name?
Technological Environment Quality Index.
Quality Index. Yeah. Okay, close. Anyway, so
and I know it's tough for you to say the word environment, probably, but
it is hard. Yeah. What about the news is good though, right? Things are up just a little bit.
A little bit. Things are up a little bit, but there's still an awful lot of stuff that's out there pending that can go awry. I mean, a lot of legislation that might just target the online world and not be balanced for the online and offline world. I mean, the Internet is still something that to some is a dark and murky place, but e-commerce has helped so many people, and broadband has the potential to help an awful lot of people that we work pretty hard to try and prevent discrimination against merchants and ideas and businesses on the Internet.
Yeah. And I know that we don't like the numbers, but I think we sort of like the trend, though, don't we? That the trend is improving. But I know you say that there are other things out there that could go bump in the night. What are some of the threats that are out there for us right now?
Well, and again, the threats have to do with legislative proposals, for example, proposals for regulation that that could specifically target the online world, and then there's other issues related to intellectual property and how that will be enforced or not enforced, because going forward for our industry, and in fact we talk a little bit about trade too, as you were talking about earlier, intellectual property is one of the primary assets in the United States. It's one of our largest trade surpluses.
Well, as we're becoming a service society, a service economy, it's going to become more and more, isn't it?
That's right. And so intellectual property is something that we have to make sure gets protected both here and abroad, and that trade agreements become part of the way to do that.
Right. Where are we on the Internet sales tax issue?
Well, it's sort of, there's a lot of different components to that debate. I mean, if you talk to somebody like Grover Norquist, who's at the Americans for Tax Reform, they talk about the internet sales tax as a new tax, and therefore there shouldn't be a new tax.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reality is that there's already technically a tax on all sales. It's just that, you know, with catalogs in the online world, you're responsible for paying yourself something called a use tax, which means that you keep track of it and just pay it, you know, on your own recognizance, so to speak, when you file your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, today that's a good way to get audited because only priests and criminals actually do it. So, I mean, you know, the states believe that what they want to do is just make life easier for themselves by requiring merchants, including remote merchants, to collect that tax. But part of the problem is that it creates a pretty unfair burden on these remote sellers, many of whom are small businesses, because
right.
instead of the one tax jurisdiction that your business lives in, you're potentially trying to collect taxes for 7,500
mm-hmm.
tax jurisdictions around the country. And they're complex and convoluted, and I mean, you know, Milky Way is taxed differently than Snickers because the peanuts make it a food. And
well, and each
incredible.
One of them have a different form to fill out. I mean,
there's different forms, different places to, you know, send the money, kind of.
Well, merchants understand this because in their own in our own states, we may have, you know, we may have 40, 50, 60 different tax entities.
In
a state alone. And so if you do business in your state, around your state, you've gone through this with the sales tax issue. So this until they simplify this thing, it really isn't practical. But I'm convinced that somebody's going to figure out how to do that. And sometime in our lifetime, Jonathan, we will pay sales tax on the purchases that we make online. There's no question in my mind about
that.
Well,
I got a couple more things to say on that when we get back.
Hold on with that. We're going to be right back with our good friend Jonathan Zook. It's 10 till. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. Jonathan Zook is our guest. Don't forget to check out my website, www.jbsba.com. Got the new site up there, the new redesign, and be sure to check it out. I think you'll like it. A lot of good stuff there, a lot of new stuff. Jonathan Zook is the president of the Association for Competitive Technology. He's an old friend of ours. And their website is actonline.org, actonline.org. And a lot of good information there, too, as well what they're doing to help small technology companies all over the country. And Jonathan, congratulations on the good work that you guys do.
Thank you.
The other websites, one is the privacy, netprivacypower.org.
Right.
And there's another one, isn't there?
NetChoice. NetChoice.org is the organization. It's a coalition of multiple trade associations and companies working to try and... prevent barriers to electronic commerce.
Right, exactly.
Online world, exactly.
You said you had another comment or two on the sales tax issue. After you do that, I want you to talk to us about some of the new gadgets that are out there.
All right. I think that part of the sales tax issue is going to be the low-hanging fruit concept. And what was happening is that there's something called the Quill decision, which was a Supreme Court decision that basically said that a company that had nexus is related back to catalog companies.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you were ordering from a catalog that was in your state, you had to pay. They had to collect sales tax.
If they have any operation, like a warehouse or an office of any kind in the state, that created a nexus in that state.
That's exactly right. And so they had to collect sales tax. Well, a lot of these big retailers, the Walmarts of the world, the Toys R Us, et cetera, really do have Nexus everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was try to set up basically dummy corporations to have their websites so that it wouldn't seem like they had Nexus.
Uh-huh.
And they're cracking down on that. And so there's a lot more sales tax is going to be collected now, and I think that you're going to find that something like 92% of sales tax will actually get solved by the nexus issue.
Mm-hmm.
Be necessary to put in a simplified sales tax necessarily or place that burden on small businesses to collect mm-hmm. from multiple jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be an interesting way to solve it. We don't have time to talk about it, but I actually have an idea about how they could do this, and I'm not really keen on telling them because it might give them an idea, because I'm not actually in a hurry for them to collect the sales tax online. Although I do think if they can work it out, I do think it is a fair thing to do, because I do think that it does give online merchants an advantage over, especially for big ticket items, over the retail bricks and mortar organizations. I do think it gives them an unfair advantage, and I think sales tax should be collected when it's appropriate. But I do think that as you say, the system is not structured so far so that it makes it where it's not a burden on the small online companies. Jonathan, we got about 2 minutes. Tell us about some of the one or two of the new things you've seen out there that would benefit us.
Well, one of the things that we're starting to see is the real convergence of technology, so that, you know, there's a lot of folks nowadays that are, you know, starting to geek out and carrying a phone, a PDA, and a pager, and things like that. And now there are devices that sort of combine all of that functionality. A lot more and more people are using BlackBerry. Mm-hmm. Where their email comes automatically to their pager, using a phone. There's a movement toward the GSM phones, and then there's also your Palm Pilot or your Pocket PC. Mm-hmm. And now there's devices that are available that sort of combine all three of those things that work pretty well, which I think is a good, a great device for a small business owner who's on the go a lot to be able to have access to all that information. I mean, obviously, there's social philosophical issues about being that accessible, those of us that have decided to do it, benefit from a new gadget like that.
Well, you can always turn them off, can't you?
Yes, you can. That's definitely always turn it off, and it depends on just how addicted you are, I guess.
Especially when you're sitting next to me in a nice restaurant.
Oh.
Please turn it off. I don't want any William Tell overture going off on me when I'm enjoying my bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon. Jonathan Zooks, thank you for joining us.
All right, my pleasure.
It's good to have you here on the show, and we'll get you back again real soon.
Okay.
Jonathan Zook, ladies and gentlemen, with the Association for Competitive Technology. That's actonline.org. Check it out when you get a chance. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.